You know, close later on.
Terrible.
Yeah. It is.
Don't blame the oil.
Well, it's got Swiss spots in it. Either that or Chalky's old wore out. I couldn't get Alice to write it for me. But I've done something a little bit different here. I guess I'm a lot like other people. When I first got acquainted with the Bible, I thought, what are all this list of names here for? It takes up space. But as I became acquainted with the Word, I found out God doesn't waste words. There's no wasted words in sight. That's their authority. Now, I think we'll play around with some preconceived ideas. Does anybody have any idea why the genealogies are in the scripture? That's part of it. How far is it necessary to take Christ's lineage back? Why? In the beginning, he was. He was before. But the fact that he, we can take the genealogies in Luke and combine them with the ones in Genesis, I go back to Adam, prove that Christ existed before him. What is the truth? Of the fact that he, like you and I, was descended from Adam.
Well, we wouldn't have their history.
That's his history. His story is part of his story.
All right.
It also proves that the blood, you might say.
All right. Look at that. But why? All right, let's take this portion. Why is it important that, I don't know that any of these answers are important, but it's not what you think. Why is it important to have a genealogy of Abraham to Adam?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see if we can see some of these lists now. I put numbers over here in this column to represent people. I had a reason for my name. You can insert the name if you want to copy this off. I think maybe by the time you're done, you may want to. I'll leave it here. And this, however, I know this, that word is supposed to be born. Okay? Live, how many years? And die, when? Now, there is confusion in most of the chronological tables that you see because we have elected in our history to record all events from the approximate third of Christ. In other words, we're living in 1976 after Christ. All right? And then everything else takes place so many years before the birth of Christ. And we look at those backward numbers and we get a little confused. I turned it around. Number one here is Adam. He was born in the year zero, all right, or year one, but time started from his birth. He lived 930 years. Therefore, he died in the year 930. Okay, now you've got the pattern, and we'll go from there. Several rules to remember. God has chosen not to tell us the total number of children born to any one of these individuals we're going to discuss. He has not chosen, and somebody may argue with me on this, but if you look the evidence carefully, you'll agree eventually. He has not chosen to tell us that any children were born before the one's name. Now, he wants to establish a bloodline from Adam through certain individuals, to certain individuals, to certain individuals to Christ. All right? This is necessary. We're not even going into that too deeply. But God had his reason for this. In the case of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel were born. We don't know exactly when. I get the distinct impression very soon after they were created and started their life in the Garden of Eden. But then we're told that 130 years passed from their creation until the birth of Seth. How many children they had in that period, I have no idea. How many children they had after the birth of Seth, I have no idea. God did not choose to stop. So how many children they had when they were born is not important at all. These specific individuals. Now, to keep that in mind, their importance may come out. All right? First of all, we should note, initially, for the first 10 individuals, at least, their long lifetime. All right? Now, if you can see that at all, I'll go through it. The first individual is Adam. He's born in the year zero. He lived 930 years. Oh, by the way, confirmation of all of this will be found in, we'll start here in chapter 5 if you want to follow along. When Adam was 130 years old, Seth was born. So Seth was born in the year 130. Okay? Seth lived 912 years. He died in year 1042. Okay? Now, you go on and you can follow through in your scriptures. 105 years later, Seth was fathered Enos. Okay? He lived 905 years. He died in 1140. Very important date, keep in mind. In a sense. The fourth individual was Canaan. Born in the year 325, that's 90 years, if I'm not mistaken. Alright? In the life, think of the lifetime of Enoch. He lived 910 years. He died in the year 1235. Alright. You go on through, fifth individual was, my name, don't have to pronounce his name. Mahalaleel. Born in the year 395, lived 895 years, therefore he died in 1290. Jared, born in the year 460, lived 962 years, died in the year 1422. Enoch, here's a special one, mark him out a little bit. Born in the year 622, lived 365 years. Length of a year of years. Died in the year 987. It's an exception here. He fathered Methuselah in the year 687. Lived 969 years. Died in 1656. A very important year. We'll find out in a minute. He fathered Lamech in the year 874. He lived 707 years, died in the year 1651, and he fathered Noah in the year 1056. He lived 950 years, died in the year 2006. Now, what are some of the important things? All right, if you note, individual 10, Noah, born in the year 1056. Then you will find that there are six individuals who were contemporaries of Noah and Adam. Think about that. Six individuals who lived both in the lifetime of Adam and Noah. You say, how did that history over a period of 1656 years get handed down to somebody that was preserved? It would seem like we went through dozens of individuals. It did. It would have gone through no more than two to get to know. Alright? History does now establish that there were written records prior to the flood. It could have been handed to Noah in writing. But at the very least, it was handed to Noah by somebody who heard it from the horse's mouth. Okay? Now that's not too bad for the sake of preservation and accuracy. The evidence we see in the scriptures is that these were sharp individuals, mentally and physically and in every way. They had long lives. I think their medical knowledge must have far surpassed anything that we know today. After all, we've only been creeping up since the Dark Ages, just before the Renaissance. All right? We're way behind the time. I'm glad Dr. Parker's here. We won't insult him or any other one person in the medical profession. But, and I don't think he'd take it that way. I think he'd first admit it. But I think that in our medical knowledge, we're way behind what they must have had. They knew how to take care of themselves. Now, I said the year 1656 in the life of Methuselah was important. The flood occurred on this chronological order in the year 1656. And later on we'll go over this in another lesson. We will look at some of the events in relation to the flood. The flood occurred, if I recall correctly, in the second month of year 1656. That means that to account for Methuselah's age, he had to die within 2 months of the flood, increasing the probability that he died in the flood, which is a very strange thing. Now, we spoke this morning. Because Methuselah lived 969 years, he's a hero. He's a long-lived man. In the Bible, therefore, he must have been a great man. That's our human logic. That's what the Bible is telling us. It's telling us something about the grace and patience of God. In all of the human beings living in the year 1656, and that includes six individuals who knew Adam face to face, named here, and a lot of their descendants, who heard the story of the Garden of Eden and the deception of Satan and the fall of Adam and Eve, first hand from Adam, and the grace of God exemplified in his mercy toward him, and the institution of the blood sacrifice. They lived in a period where Noah lived. And two of them specifically died within 5 years of the flood. Methuselah, and Methuselah's father, or son, and who's also Noah's father. Noah's father died approximately 5 years before the flood. God looks down and says, there's only four individuals worthy of salvation, or eight individuals, I'm sorry, worthy of salvation. Noah, his three sons, and his four wives. Alright, now, this brings us to the flood. We're going to skip over to the next genealogy, get it out of the way. After this, we'll have these out of the way tonight, I hope. We'll be able to get down to some of the, let's say, the historical events that occurred. How's that?
Well, years
I know. I told you I was doing something different. I'm starting the years with Adam, which is easier to follow. I have another reason for this, too. We'll get to it. We're used to counting from an event. And I'm counting from Adam all the things you find in all of the chronicles, right, is backwards, which is confusing. So we look at the first event, and we see this list of years. I haven't seen anything printed like this. I had to make it up myself. I'm not saying it's original, but I've never seen it. Alright? I'd like to get to the genealogies now that lead us to Abraham. You will note that it took 10 individuals to get down here to the flood and to Noah. Alright? 10 generations. It takes 10 more if you're interested to get down to Abraham. This happens to be Abraham here. You'll also note that there are some similar parallels between the relationships of individuals and Abraham that there is between Adam and Noah. Okay? Now let's go through it from there. Eliminate real quick, where the word records the birth of the three sons of Noah 100 years before the flood. Okay, I've got it. You'll find that in chapter 5, verse 32. Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. If you're not careful here, you'll get into trouble. It names three sons. And it says he was 500 years old and begat. And you get the impression they might have been triplets. I discount that for a very specific reason. In chapter 11, starting with verse 10, well, first of all, let's go this route. Noah was 500 years old when he begat the three boys, all right? You have that in mind? The flood was when Noah was 600 years old. That's 100 years. Then we get down to verse 10, chapter 11. And these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. That was 2 years. So this tells me that Shem was probably the second or third born son in this group of the three sons that were born after Noah was 500 years old. And that would account for 2 years difference there.
Would a mistake in your years of living maybe change in that?
It might.
We limit with 777 years, not 777. And then
what you want to have down there?
531.
The only difference it would make would be in the total years that he lived.
Well, that's different from your dad.
Probably how it adds up. Alright, I picked that up somewhere. I had him down at 1581, and then I changed to 1651. I just didn't change it on my note here. Okay? Add up 874 and 777 and see if it comes out to 1651. I think it does. 874? Yeah. Right, so I caught it, but I didn't correct it. So if you get to this,
I've got to keep the chalk on the pressure here.
Years. Now, Year 1558, Shem was born. He lived 600 years. He lived to the year 2158. Now, I'm not going down through all these names until I get down to number 19. All right? But you just have, when you go through, you have individual 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 individuals to get to Terah. He was born in 1878, still figuring time after creation. All right? Now, this won't match up with some of the other chronological tables, but it's the actual year, according to the record we have in the scriptures, and we have to assume that it is correct. He lived 205 years. He died in the year 2083. Abraham, then, was born in a very interesting number, 1948. In our counting, what happened in 1948? The rebirth of God's promise to the nation of Israel. Interesting, isn't it? Extremely interesting to me. What it means, I don't know. Just a very interesting coincidence. 1948, he lived 175 years, died in the year 2123. All right? Now, we also have Isaac and Jacob there. Individuals 21 and 22 at this stage are not terribly important. The thing I want to point out to you, there are only three individuals in all of those lists listed that were not alive at some time during the birth or after the birth of Abraham. Shem, Noah's son, who had the record directly from his father Noah. Shem, Noah's son, was alive in 2158. Noah was born 110 years before. Abraham was born 110 years before Shem died. That means he could pass the truth of God directly to the hands of God's word directly to the hands of Abraham. But there's only three individuals. Number 15, number 16, and number 18. That weren't alive between the lifetime of Shem and Abraham, or let's say alive during the lifetime of Abraham. Now, what this does for me, it greatly increases the faith that I can have in the accuracy of the scriptures. From Adam to Abraham, the word God only had to pass through a maximum of four people, probably three. To go Adam, to, Enos, to Noah. All right, that's three. Then it passed through Shem to Abraham. It had to pass through four individuals before it got to Abraham. And we got a clue in the fact that when Cain was marked with God at an indication of right, any mark that signifies or has a meaning is a form of right. Therefore, at the time of Cain, by the book, archaeologists have been able to find so far, there was a form of writing, and I believe it must have been much more developed than we know about today. We have any historical record. This gives us a reason to put our faith in the Word of God. Now, you can play around with these numbers. When you look at them, and counting from Adam, and you get a different set of numbers in your mind than you're used to in counting backwards from Christ, they are interesting. It took 20 generations to go 1,948 years. The rest of the history that we have recorded in the Bible, from Abraham to the birth of Christ, is about 1,925 years, and it involves 42 generations. Alright? So, for approximate equal periods of time, 1,900 plus years, a little less than 2,000 years, 20 generations for the first period, 42 generations for the second period, and I'm not sure how many generations from Christ until now. I would suspect it's doubled again, probably the 8th generation. Okay? It's interesting to note the descending lifetimes of individuals. We start in the first group of 10, and they average out at almost 900 years apiece. Noah lived 950 with the birth of Shem. It began to drop rapidly. He lived 600 years. And by the time you get down to the 15th individual, five individuals from Shem, it's down to 239 years. And it gets down to Abraham, 175, gets down to Jacob, 147, and by the time it gets to Christ, we have no record. God stopped counting by the years of their lives. And everything that we can find historically is very similar to ours. Anywhere from a period of 35 years to 75 years. The biblical promise we have is what? 4 score and 10?
In one place, we allowed it to be 20 years.
3 score, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, 3 score and 10. I'm thinking I would go out there. Well, I think this is back in this older period here, I'm not sure. Maybe, I can't answer. The evidence, I know what you're saying, but I can't pinpoint it in my mind, so I don't know where it's at. You're right in what you're saying. But what I'm trying to say is it starts with the creation of Adam at all, well over 900 years, and it descends by the time of Christ to a much shorter lifetime. God, we think you're very lucky if we live to be 70 years old, 75. Good long lifetime. We talk about the insurance figures and how the life expectancy is increasing. It's increased by several years since I was born. And, we think that's great. We've made great strides. We're killing ourselves. I've given you a set of figures now. How important they are, you have to determine that by study of them. I do find the year of Abraham's birth, 1948, extremely interesting. I think some of these other dates, if you went back through the church history, might correspond for some interesting starting points from the Middle Ages up. You can play all kinds of games with them. The trouble we would get into if we begin that is an awful lot of conjecture. And the temptation would be to project and predict coming events from them, but I was asked the question as to types, and Abraham distinctly is a type of the nation of Israel, the promises of God. He was born in the year of God, not Christ, or before Christ, but in the year of God, 1948. And at 1,900 plus years, the concept chronologies we have in the commentaries are from 1925 to 2,000 years before Christ. Also born. So he could have been born 1,948 years very easily after Adam, and 1,948 years before Christ. You have to keep in mind years in the Bible are 360 days, not 365. So you take those 5 days out all the way through, you might come God's 2,000 years, all right? So he lived approximately, and I can use that very freely, 1,948 years before the birth of Christ, and in 1,948 years after the birth of Christ, I married my wife, and the nation of Israel was reborn. All right, to me it's a very important year. It's a year I've watched. I look back to. Now, I don't know, I wouldn't take, I would not dare to step off the mat and make any predictions. We're trying to tie that into the second coming of Christ. What I will say is, to me, it's one more indication that God's dealings with, in this dispensation, with this world, are about to change drastically. And all of the other evidence of Scripture, when I add this to the other evidence of Scripture, I have to believe that the soon return of Christ is here. And I would hesitate to. I won't be too surprised, but this way, to walk out, stand out there, shake hands with you tonight, before I get the car, to hear the trumpet blow. I think it could be that close. I'm perfectly willing to go. If he wants to call before we finish the service and have a closing prayer, great. If he wants to put it off another 40 or 50 years, I hope I live that long and I'm here when it happens. I think I have a very good chance of it. If I don't, I think my children or my grandchildren have a very good chance. I don't want to go into Isaac and Jacob the year 2048, 2108, and say anything.
I would have in the Bible that every person living has depended from one or the other of Noah's three sons. Now we are descendants of Shem. Which one are we?
I don't know. I don't know if Sarah was important. I am descended from Noah. How about that? Does that tell it? I'm also descended from Adam, and both of them were failures. Alright? And I'm a failure. Praise God for His grace. Okay? That's the whole message. There isn't anything to recommend any of these people here. Sorry about that. Not a thing. Except that God loved them. And that's enough recommendation for me. He loved me too. That makes me kin to Him. I think the patience, the grace of God is fantastic. And the Bible does tell us it's going to come to an end someday in the dealings with man. And I think we're the lucky ones just before the end. We're under His grace. I'd like to get a whole lot more people in
here. It seems to me, reading that a lot of your great scientists of the world today and a lot of your more knowledgeable people all agree upon one thing, and that is in the year 2000.
Somewhere
they don't know what, but they everything points to that.
When they say that, you have to keep in mind our calendars are all messed up. I think 1948 is an interesting year. I'm sorry about that. I do. I mean, it was an interesting year for me, and I wouldn't change it. All things were going on well. I was wearing. Hey, some of you don't know, you know. Alice and I got married on the day that the Lord reestablished the nation of Israel, the very same day. See, so the very special day to me. I look at the nation of Israel as God's signpost, time clock, whatever you want to call it. Everything has been timed in that direction in relation to the nation of Israel. I get terribly excited. All I do is preach, all I do is tell people, and I'm not very good at it. But this is interesting. I don't know why somebody hasn't published a list like this, but there it is. Work it out for yourself. If you don't believe I've added it up right, and you're right, I did make a mistake, but I had thought it. I just hadn't changed it. Play with it. You might find these genealogies are not near as dry. They will make you think. God put them there for a reason. Is it to give us a little bit of a warning? To wake us up to some of these facts, 1948 again? We ought to be on our toes. We ought to be awake. We ought to be looking for Christ. That's all I can say. I'm not going to say 1984 or 2000 or today. I wish it was today. I'd like to go on preaching. I said when I first began to preach, when I ordained me, I would ask God if He were willing to give me 120 years to preach. I had that vague notion that, no, I had 120 years, but He's building ours. Joe pointed out that about a year ago that I was wrong on that. But he had about 100 years. All right? And I told God if He wanted me to, I'd preach for 120 years. I won't spend the rest of my life there. But now that I'm getting older, it's a long time. I don't want to go home. I wouldn't be unhappy if He blew that trumpet today. Shall we pray?